I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. Everyone experiences trouble in life. We all face seasons of sorrow, grief, relational pain, and more. In fact, studies show now that 20 to 25% of people experience a diagnosable mental disorder in their lifetime. Sadly, the church has too often remained silent about mental illness. The silence creates stigma and shame, and it adds to the suffering. But there's good news. Mental health professionals now offer more effective care than they ever have before. And when Christian counselors integrate emotional, relational, and mental health anchored in God's word and spiritual wisdom, people are finding real help, hope, and healing. You know, we're all broken in some way. Let's care for one another in the most loving, effective ways possible, because the Lord, He's in the midst of it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net. Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Troy Miller, my friend, welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
It's great to be here.
And today we are blessed to be in this incredible exhibit hall here at the NRB Convention, Nashville, Tennessee, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. It's amazing. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy in the room. And today we're blessed to be really seated with the man who's at the helm of not just this moment, but this movement, the president of the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And let me just say something about Troy Miller. He's a dear friend, but he's somebody who is unapologetic about his faith and about this moment for such a time as this. Troy, I'm so grateful for you. I know this, there's a lot that go into event planning such as this. I know probably 50 main stage speakers, 250 exhibitors, 6,000 attendees, well over 10,000 room nights. How exciting is it to see all of this come to culmination?
Oh, it is incredibly exciting to be here and to be around all this energy. You know, This year, I think this year, even more so, I've heard a couple of comments. I think this is the best NRB yet, but The energy here has been incredible. You know, to be with people who are on the front lines of getting the gospel out to the lost and dying world, of educating the church, discipling, and reaching people who are hurting. I just gives me goosebumps.
I think you are one of the most influential voices in media and culture for such a time as this. I think God has appointed and anointed you in this very moment, Troy. And what I want to share a little bit about is just what you're seeing, because the church is in a cultural hour. Dr. Dobson said that he prayed that the church would awaken and take its rightful place. The only thing C.S. Lewis said that the church cannot be is moderately important. I think we're seeing a movement of the Spirit. There's a hunger for holiness. There's a thirst for truth. You saw it at Southeastern University just last week. God is doing something special. What are you seeing, especially as it relates to this landscape of media?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You know, we've been seeing all of, really kind of started about the spring of last year, and it just has really grown. The we did a survey, and the number of people that are searching Christian media sites or searching social media for Christian terms, the number of people, Bible sales are up, number of people that are attending Christian conferences, whether they're music conferences or teaching, preaching conferences, number of people going back to church. We're seeing all of those numbers rise, even for the first time, and I think it was 7 years, the American Bible Society saw an uptick in Bible engagement.
Yes.
And so God is on the move, you know, and people are hungry. I think we're seeing a major rejection of secular philosophies and ideology across this country. And within us, we have that God hole, and people are drawn in to fill that. And Christianity is the only answer.
I'm grateful, you know, that at the end of the day, a lot of people are rising and they're taking a stand because courage is contagious. Billy Graham once said that, right? When somebody takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And so we're seeing that, I think, all across the nation today. At the same time, Troy, you know, Megan Basham, she released a book several years ago, Shepherds for Sale. And there's a lot of individuals that sometimes will try to just ride the fence. They don't really go all into this Christian evangelical thing. And so for you, I'm interested, does that concern you with some of the leading voices that maybe will succumb to the political or cultural agenda of the day?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the theme of this conference is that the new era of Christian communications is now. That has a lot to do with technology, things that are going on, new tools, new low entry points to get into this. But the biggest part of that is courage, having the courage to speak up in a culture that really worships popularism, right? That worships likes and worships whether I'm an influencer or not and how many followers do I have. And we have too many pastors really came out of the seeker-driven movement, and from that movement, they just watered everything down. Let's not offend anybody, because if we offend somebody, it might not bring them to Christ. Yet the Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting right through bone and marrow, cuts us to conviction. And so what really concerns me and what we really are talking about here is, will pastors in this time, will they have the courage to brush off that marketing attitude that's gotten into the church? Will they brush off that CEO attitude that they've had, where they look at their congregations as consumers and not look at themselves as shepherds who are discipling the flocks, who are making the bride of Christ beautiful? Courage is the word of the day.
You excite me when you get passionate about this topic, because I remember interviewing you several years ago for WAVA. It was a Friday afternoon radio program that we were launching in DC. And I remember sitting with you and you said something that stuck with me. You said that when it comes to our faith, we should have a private relationship with Jesus, but our faith should also be public. We should have the courage to step up. We should have the courage to make a post on Instagram. It's not about us, right? It's about who we are honoring and who we are glorifying. Speak to somebody out there today who maybe feels like, you know what, I have this personal relationship with Jesus, but I'm afraid to kind of live out this public faith.
Yeah, and we did that. We had a survey at the beginning to show that there's a lot of people afraid to live out that public faith. They're afraid of the ridicule, the bias, maybe the criticism that they're going to get to do that. But yet we are called. I mean, the scripture tells us nobody lights a candle and then puts it under a basket and hides it, right? Nobody takes the salt, which is meant to season, and leaves it in the cupboard, right? You have to sprinkle it. You have to spread it. And it's the power of our testimony. Not everybody has to be a theologian. You don't have to be the best Bible scholar. Your best word is your testimony. It is your faith. And it's not your faith that's contained, as we said, in personally in just your home or within the four walls of your church. It's your faith that's actively lived out in the culture, because that's what people are hungry for. And I'm telling you, in our survey, they are hungry for it. The number one answer to our survey last January, when we asked people, why are you reaching out? Yeah. They wanted to know. They don't want you to keep your face silent. They want to know, how is your relationship with God? Tell me more about God. Tell me more about the Bible. And tell me how I can have that kind of relationship. How can I have that relationship with people? That was the response. People are hungry to hear the truth from the Word.
Yes, they are. And you know, it's interesting, in the mental health space, in the counseling office, 90 to 92% of clients that come into a counseling office, whether it's faith-based or secular, want their faith or their spirituality to be incorporated into therapy. Why? Because when it is, it actually helps produce better outcomes. It's this idea, like you said, there is a hunger for faith in this hour. I want to talk to you now, Troy, just about, I think there's a lot of siloism in ministry. A lot of people are very competitive. They want their voice to be out there. Like you said, we kind of live in a culture of popularism, and we have these influencers, and everybody wants to get as many followers and as many fans, as many likes and engagement as possible. And it's important to get the word out there, but at the same time, not to make it so competitive where it's me versus you, or it's this church versus that church, but locking arms with one another, because loneliness is the silent epidemic of our day and age. I think especially as it relates to our faith in Christianity. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, you know, if you go to the Gospel of John, and John gives us this great view up in the upper room, right? He gives these three whole chapters about the upper room. And one of the most common themes that Jesus was talking to the apostles about was unity. Yes. Father, please make them one as you and I are one. It was the unity of the gifts. And we have to go back and again, shed that whole marketing, that whole CEO mentality from a ministry and from especially the pulpit, because we're shepherds and shepherds are in this together. They didn't go when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and go, oh, those shepherds and those shepherds. And no, they all went to worship. The angels came to the shepherds and they came together. And we have to remember that we're all in this together and we're all in it for the message of eternity, not the temporal feedback we get or congratulations or the things that stroke our temporal ego. We're here for people. People are going to stand in front of God and they're going to stand on one side or the other. They're going to stand on the side of under grace and mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ, or they're going to stand under the wrath of God in judgment. And God has given us, especially Christian communicators, the voice to so that people know which side they can stand on. Again, courage, get rid of that mentality of CEO, of marketing, of siloism, and realize we're all in this to make the bride of Christ as beautiful as she can be for that wedding day.
Troy, the next generation is growing and hungrier than ever before for truth. We see it, whether it's in the Barna research, Gallup polls, all of these different things. And what I would say is for them specifically, we have to meet them where they're at. That's why I love NRB. That's why I love individuals like yourself who are so bold and courageous to meet them in the media market. And what I really want to chat about here for just for a moment is, I know media and consumerism has adapted and changed over time, right? Radio used to be king back in the day. Now it's kind of videography. Now it's podcasting. How have you seen that world adapt, and what is NRB doing specifically to make sure that we're meeting the next generation exactly where they are?
Yeah, we have a major focus at this convention, and we'll continue it on what's called new media today, right?
Yes.
Because we have a generation, we have two generations almost out there that have grown up with constant media, always in their hand, always there. And they've grown up with this idea that it's on demand. They can have it anytime they want. They didn't grow up where I did. I had to wait till, is it 7 o'clock yet? Is that show going to be on? Come on, hurry up. Not another commercial
at their fingertips.
Right, they have it right with them all the time. And so that creates a couple of things. One, it creates, for those of us who have been around media a long time, it creates a challenge for us to remember that there's another generation that consumes differently. And so we're talking about that a lot. But the really exciting thing is we have a generation that's raised up in this, so they know how to use it. They know how to reach their generation. You should have somebody from those generations on your staff knowing how to reach their sort of people, right?
Yes.
But also the same thing, they're doing some really creative, innovative things. We know of several folks out there that have started Bible studies. They've started discipleship programs on gaming platforms, wow. Microsoft's gaming platforms, all the different gaming platforms out there. They're doing those. Of course, we have a TikTok army starting up that are getting out there, and Instagram messages. The thing that's out about it today is so neat is that really everybody's a Christian communicator,
yes,
because everybody has a chance to communicate. Right now, the average person has a network of influence of over 400 people.
Wow.
400 people. That is three times the size of the average church in America.
Wow.
And so you're a shepherd, you're a pastor, but this generation, I'm so excited for them. They're going to be a major part of where we're going, and new media is going to be a major area that not only do we help foster, but we also help protect. Yes. That's what new media people have to understand also. Yes. Just because you're in a legacy, you're not radio or television broadcasting, means you're safe. Right now, it is harder and more weaponized and more biased and more marginalization on digital platforms than there is on traditional.
I want to go there now because the words that came into my mind were censorship and suppression. We live in a culture and society where those things are very, in a sense, marginalized. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to post really good, meaningful content, But for whatever reason, because, you know, the big media and the markets, they don't agree with it. Different ideologies. The idea is, hey, I want to make sure that they get silenced. We live in the cancel culture. Troy, speak to just how important is it that we fight this battle and what might happen if we don't?
Oh, well, look, if we don't, I said this, if we don't, think about it this way. The idea, Dennis Prager's new book about it, he says the idea if there is no God, the question is, then who defines good and evil? If there's no absolute truth, who defines good and evil? And if we lose that voice in the culture,
yes,
and or we don't participate in the culture with that voice, what we're saying is it's okay for ungodly, secular, pagan ideologies, philosophies, opinions, and beliefs to define, to create those kinds of definitions. Wow. What is morality? What is ethics? What does it mean to be human? Mm. If we don't step into the culture and say that, then somebody else is, right? We know that there's never a void. It's a vacuum. Something will fill it. And so it is so important for us that. And if we don't fight to be in the culture, yes, if we don't fight to be in that marketplace, if we're not out there in the public, if we don't stand up for our rights, they're not just going to be there automatically. We've seen so much weaponization by the government, but even more so by corporate America.
Wow. You know, it's really a fight for who controls access to the information.
Yeah, it's access to the information, but also who controls the information feeding the minds and the hearts of the people who are out there consuming.
Exactly. So let me ask this. With NRB, all the different initiatives, all the different things that you guys are doing, as a believer, if I'm in the audience just listening, I would like to know, you know, how are we fighting this? What can I do to be a part of this fight every single day to make sure that we are continuing to shepherd and steward the next generation in the best way possible? To an audience member out there today, how can they come alongside of you and lock arms for this fight?
Well, a couple of ways. First of all, I'll tell you, be bold and courageous yourself. Communicate, because I can guarantee if you're going to communicate some biblical principles, you're going to find out what the cancel culture is pretty quickly, and be able. But follow us on nrb.org. You'll see all of the issues that we're covering, the legislation we're sometimes pushing to get advanced and sometimes pushing to pull back. So we're fighting hard so that the corporate citizens have to be that, corporate citizens. They can't be corporate gatekeepers out there. And there will be times that we'll call on your voice to say, hey, I'm part of society. I matter. What my message matters just as much as the leftists, LGBTQ, all the progressive voices that are out there in those boardrooms. Sometimes they think they're the only people that exist because the Christian voice is quiet. So we need your voice to come up. So keep watching what we do at nrb.org.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Zach Clinton, and we're sitting down with Troy Miller, president of National Religious Broadcasters Association here at the NRB convention. Two final questions, Troy, for you. When I think of you, I look at you and I see legacy. Legacy is not just something you leave behind. It's something you put into motion. I'm sitting down with your daughter here in a couple of hours and just talking about that influence and somebody that's really living in this media space for such a time as this. I'd love to hear from you. You know, how do we continue to reach not just the next gen, but how do we build out these legacies? Because like you said, you don't have to have a pulpit. You don't have to have thousands of followers on Instagram. Everybody is a leader. Everybody has influence. Everybody can make an impact. Give us a word on legacy, if you would.
Yeah, because it's really what matters at the end of the day, right? It's the impact we leave on people, and the impact and the things that we've taught and hand on, the knowledge that carries forward. That's what really matters to us. The likes will go away, the attaboys will go away, the accolades will go away. But the next generation, if we've imparted, you know, the scripture tells us, the Old Testament tells us this over and over and over again, share to the next generation. And so that is so important for us to think about that legacy that we're leaving, and to think about handing on the mentoring, the information, the knowledge that we've had and the experience we've had, to pass that along to somebody. And I'd say to that, if you're a leader out there, whether you're in a church leader, whether you're in a radio station, television station, podcast, or whatever, find a group and mentor them.
Yes.
Mentor them in, disciple them so that they can pass that legacy on as well.
Dr. James Dobson, a man who was very near and dear to both my dad and I, yourself as well, he used to always say that life will trash your trophies. All that matters in the end is who you loved and who loved you.
That's
life
right.
is all about relationships. It's the currency of our day and age. Troy, how I want to close up our time together today is in knowing that you're at the helm, again, at this moment in movement, just seeing what God is doing, even through this event, but what God is doing just throughout NRB at large scale every single day of the year. How can we be praying for you, my friend?
Yeah, look, you need to continue to pray for us to have wisdom. Yeah. We are navigating a very complicated structures, government, corporate, just even civil society. All of those things are very complicated. We need God's wisdom every day. We need strength. We need peace. And we need God's favor. Please pray for that. You know, it takes a lot to open up the hallways and the doors of the power brokers and the policymakers that are out there. So wisdom and God's favor and strength, that's what we need every day. And so we really, really garner your prayers.
Wisdom, favor, and strength. We will be praying all of those things over you and NRB, my friend. Again, so grateful for you. Make sure you go check out nrb.org. God is doing something special through this place. Troy Miller, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton,
and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.